All right, so welcome to another episode of Sideline Pop. This is your guy, Coach Greg Moore, G-Mo, whatever is clever. I'm here with one of my guys today, Christian Aaron Beatty, quarterback extraordinaire. What you call it, QB?
Yeah.
This guy gave me my first opportunity to orchestrate and run a pro day. Forever indebted to you for that. Been around for a while. You popped up when 2018, 2017, somewhere in that range. 2019.
Really, like, yeah, 2019, 2020.
Yep.
Summer. The summer of 2018 was a little bit, but 2019 is when we started rolling.
For sure. So 2019 we started rolling, and it kind of been all gas, no brakes, like the young people say, since then. So Christian, just where did you play high school ball at? How was that for you? What was the environment? What was the culture of the program? Just kind of give us a little bit of your background high school wise.
High school wise, I went to Cordova High School. My coaches were Coach Jones, and my OC or quarterback coach was Coach Locke. He's over at Ohio State, Coach Jones at USC. So, you know, with that just being said, what kind of caliber coaches I had in my arsenal to learn from and grow from. So they ran practice and everything like a college program. Everything was scripted. Everything had a purpose behind it. So being with them really, really molded me, or had me prepared for college.
Man, y'all had a star-studded staff out there too. You just said Coach Jones and Coach Locke, and yeah, Bowman was on that staff.
Yeah,
Bowman. Was Coach Gann on that staff as well?
Yeah.
Man, so y'all had four guys that has coached, that have coached Division I football at one point or another.
Yeah, and Coach Rich, he was at Division I with Jackson State for a small stint.
That's insane.
Coach Case was a good coach. Yeah, Coach Chris, he played at Mississippi Valley. All of our coaches played ball somewhere.
That's crazy.
And then majority of the time are still coaching and coaching collegiately.
Yeah, that's insane. So from Cordova, you went where?
To Bethel University.
And how was that experience?
It was cool. My first year there, I redshirted. Coach Dierman taught me a lot, took me under his wing, taught me about the RPO game, which I feel if anybody starts off with the RPO, you know how difficult it can be with just the run game, the pass game, and how to set it up over and over again while including those deep ball shots. And he was a master at it. So any chance I was able to listen to him or listen to the quarterbacks ahead of me and get to sit in their meetings, I always would.
Right. And so from Bethel, did you finish up at Bethel, or how was that for you?
No, I transferred over to Kentucky Wesleyan College. And that's a whole story. I've had four head coaches and was it six, seven different OCs. So I've had to adapt and learn how to play ball in each system.
That's insane. Jeez. And I was kind of similar, but I went to way more schools than you, but played for a number of head coaches and several different OCs. So I can kind of identify with you on that one. All right. So when you got to Owensboro, and that I'm saying it right? Owensboro.
Yeah.
Owensboro, Kentucky. So you went through what, two different head coaches there?
Mm-hmm.
The OC was the same, or you went through two different OCs too?
Two different OCs.
Two different OCs. All right. So
three different OCs right there.
Okay. So three different OCs. What were the schemes y'all were running? Which one was your favorite? And then, yeah. So give me those two.
So it's really just depends on who's calling the plays and what relationship you have with the OC.
Right.
If you have the relationship with the OC, they know what you like and what you don't like. What are we capable of doing? What am I capable of doing? What are we capable of doing? So when I got there, it was both Coach Browning and Coach East calling the plays, mixing up the plays, but Coach East handled the majority of it. And so we ran the air raid and we were tempo with it. So I got to sling the ball around. I mean,
yeah.
What more can you add? And then it was my first year there, so I just trusted the guys that were already there receiver wise. And when they said they wanted the ball, I was like, okay, you can have it.
Yeah.
They said they wanted to win the 50-50 shot. So I trusted my guys majority of the time.
Yeah.
And this past year, we had the gun triple option with Coach Young. Coach Young was the D coordinator my first year, and then came over to the offensive side and wanted to spice things up. So we did the gun triple option. You can see like Ferris State and other things like that. But we eventually just got into more passing and more quarterback run. So I would say that one was my favorite just because I got the ball a whole bunch. I think I was second in rushing yards. So,
my God, that's nuts.
Second in rushing yards on the team. So I was the ball in my hands regardless each time. If we needed the first down, I would do whatever it took. I'd jump over the pile or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Now I don't know if I'm ready to let young Kobe do all of that. But all right. So from Bethel to Owens, well, from Bethel to Kentucky Wesleyan, and then from Wesleyan to where? Like, okay. So before we go to where, coming out of Wesleyan, how many pro days did you have?
I just had
the one, University of Memphis.
Yeah.
How did you feel about your process going into pro day? Like your preparation, who did you train with? Like you ain't gotta, of course we know, you know, we people, so you stayed at home with your guy. But on the performance side, like who did you train with? And then did you feel like you were prepared between the person, the performance coach, and then also what we did on field with me?
Yeah. That process was long, I would say. As soon as because I graduated in December, so I wasn't really had to worry about school, stress about school.
Right.
So soon as that last class was over, I was back at home. I shot straight at home. I was tossing and turning whether I should be at home or just train back at school. Cause at home I got a lot of distractions,
not
bad, but I work construction. So that's a lot of weight, a lot of movement, a lot of being on your feet already as it is. As to going to train. So I eventually just stayed at home and I trained with Coach Shabazz. He right. I was really just the only one in there that year. And I had other pro guys with me, just pushing me, just giving me little minute details to help me on my 40, help me on my broad, help me on my vert. And I think all of that added up to the pro day. But I was stressing. I wanted to be that guy. I didn't have a pro day for about 2 months in. Then Coach Shabazz called Coach Silverfield. I'm thankful Coach Silverfield allowed me to throw. And then that gave us the opportunity to start actually building a plan throwing wise with you. And, thankfully, you just made it real nice and smooth. You were with the Senior Bowl, so I knew we were going to get a great script going in.
Yeah, and
it just the whole break was really on my side. Honestly, Nick, all the receivers that come out with us, anytime they could, hey Christian, can I come with you? I'm like, of course, why not?
Right.
And those reps just kept on piling up. Footwork kept on getting crisp, rollout game was getting crisp, play action was getting crisp, and that's still just things we continue to build on. So it was just a blessing. I couldn't thank enough people who helped me.
Right. I will say this, like from my point of view, man, we script out or we run what would essentially be a pro day throwing script anyway. Like we've done that kind of for years. I don't think there's a route or a drop that we haven't gone through. So from my perspective, it was just, all right, how do we align what we already do to like fit the environment that we're going to be in?
Yeah.
And then we had two different types a receivers and a running back. And even though like they were the same size, like they were different guys. Like Joe was like the downfield guy, and our other homeboy, I forgot what his name was. Dub. Dub was kind of like the short to intermediate guy, but like he had for sure hands and was like a good like pass catcher in space. And then you had like Blake that kind of could do. No lie, like after the more we were on the field with Blake, I was just like, damn, like this kid can kind of do a little bit of everything. And so it was about how do we showcase what both of those guys do individually and then showcase the back? Because like in the beginning, you remember Blake was like, man, I'm just going to run like three or four routes. Mm-hmm. And then we got into the flow of it and he's like, man, I need more routes. And I'm like, oh shit. All right, cool. But I think that just watching that experience, like for you, like watching you prepare for it, watching you like really perform, not even just the throws was like the easy part, but watching you run the 40 and be amped up about running the 40. Like, of course, like you were telling, you're saying now that you were stressed, but like, man, to me, it looked like you were eager to like put everything on display that you had been working toward all right. of that time. I can't tell you thank you enough because, man, we walked in thinking one of the scouts was going to run the pro day.
Right.
And they were just like, hey, your coach is here. Like, y'all got it. And I'm like, oh, shit, we got it. Oh, shit, we got it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, we got it. Yeah. Straight up. It's dope having Kobe there. Just so Kobe could share that experience with you, because y'all were teammates at Bethel, and then y'all eventually ended up being teammates again. But like for me, man, it was just a culmination of thing. Like you said, like everybody pitched in and gave something, and it was just like we always do, you know, taking a community approach. So that was dope as hell, bro. Like that was dope as hell. I'll remember that for the rest of my life. I don't have to do another pro day, bro. Like I'll remember that one for the rest of my life.
Yeah. All 32 were there for Blake. Then the CFL was there. I mean, it was
crazy.
It was crazy. Really didn't. Once we started rolling, you don't even
locked
realize.
In. Yeah, you're locked in. Completely locked in.
Man.
Like nothing or no one else matters. Like just the task at hand. So yeah. from Pro Day at University of Memphis, which was a crazy experience. How did things materialize after that?
Well, as soon as I got done with my season, I was getting calls from Arena Ball. So I already had a job as soon as I got right out of school. I signed with Billings Outlaws, and then the Firebirds called me, the New Albany Firebirds, they called me. And then just some more of the lower level Arena Ball teams called me. And then that's when did the All-Star game for New York. And then that was smooth. I had me, I think, like two touchdowns in that one. And then my guy Jordan, he had two. So we sealed the deal just working over there. And then in Miami, we had the podium All-Star game. And a lot of those coaches, they played in the NFL and played overseas. So I didn't really know that was going to be a factor, but I got the MVP of that game. Coach Ware, he was my OC and head coach for that game, and he was just doing what pretty much Coach Young did. Hey, we need a first down, go run a first down, or get us a little seam ball down the middle, or a hitch, go ahead and get us a first. But I feel like that helped my developmental skills of just calling professional plays on how elongated they can be.
Yeah. And
that was a good leadership moment for myself. And then from there, got the MVP, and people from overseas just started calling me, kept on calling me, offer, 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 hitting me up on Euro players, offer, 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 offer. And it just boiled down to who had the best deal and the best league. And we had the ELF, but thankfully with the Barcelona Dragons, thankfully I didn't go because they were bullcrapping people on payments, coaches getting let go. They weren't paying coaches. So thankfully I made the right
choice. Barcelona?
Yeah.
Like the old NFL Europe Barcelona team?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, the whole NFL Europe was is popping right now. So,
that's like, tough.
Guy Terry, he's over there. He signed
Terry. Talking about Terry from White Station?
Yeah, Purdue went to Purdue.
Oh, straight up. Finland, we make it to Finland. The best deal that we could have gotten, and it must be because you took that one.
Yeah.
So it's across the pond. It's not here in the States. It's overseas. That's a different experience in itself, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Finland was beautiful. I mean, when I got there, it was still snow on the ground. It's summer for us, and it was just trying to get to summer for them. And how the weather is right now in Memphis, that's pretty much a finished summer. But I wanted to use it to get the 11-on-11 film on. I was thinking, hey, the coaches and scouts gonna want to see that rather than just playing 8-on-8 or 7, just being right. There's pluses and minuses to both. But the guys over there, they love football, they care about football, they don't ever try to put a black eye on what football and what it does for them, because it's a lot of club things. So they're sponsored by everybody in the community. Like how we got with Fast Break.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing. Everybody in the community is involved. And Seinäjoki is one of the smaller cities in Finland, but their home crowd is unlike anything else. It's louder than any other Finnish game we went to besides the Super Bowl we had.
But
then we had Christian Powell. He's the leading rusher of Finland. He broke that while I was there. Touchdown record holder while I was there. So it was good having him, someone from the States already. Then I got to bring my homeboy Jacoby with me to be my receiver. So we got to be roommates and everything. And we balled out. My head coach got fired. And my head coach got fired. And that was a whole ordeal in itself. And then my backup became the OC. The DC became the head coach. And I mean, I think he just turned 21 years old. Just turned 21.
The OC?
Yeah.
That's an incredible opportunity.
Yeah, he was my back. Like I said, he was my backup. So, I mean, he knows ball. Like, you can put him on a board with anybody. He knows ball.
Yeah. So
it was just mainly just me and him working together. Hey, what do we like? How simple can we make it? Because he became the OC 1 week before the game, that Sunday.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Against the defending champions of the whole league. But I got me a hurdle touchdown that game. I threw me a couple of touchdown passes, but I was kind of nervous. I was like, this is my first professional football game. It's gonna be a different environment. And then, like I said, it was a home game, so our fans are loud. They're vocal. They'll let you know, hey, what are you doing? Everybody in the community, their kids play for the Crocodiles, the youth teams, so everybody knows everybody. So
also they play this sport. They got the youth Crocodile organization. Mm-hmm. What is the? Do they have a high school team out there?
They don't,
all club.
It's all club. That's nuts. That's pretty much what it is in Europe, though. Everywhere their club, and you go from the high school. They go when they go to high school, they get out of class or get out of school, go to practice with their club team, and then go from there. And then they go.
I'm sure that probably produces an insane culture too.
Yeah.
That sounds dope.
Rivals is like 30 minutes down the road with the Vaasa Royals.
Yeah.
So they all know each other. I mean, Finland is real small. Like, you can get everywhere by train. You get every city. You can ride a bike anywhere you want to go. So
that's dope.
Everybody knows everybody in a way.
That's dope. All right. So that opportunity kind of materialized, and you had a really good season out there. So kind of talk about what you were able to accomplish, of course, yourself and your teammates and all of that good stuff.
I mean, we made it all the way to the we only lost two or three games, and one of the games we lost was we were saving folks. So I don't really, we still almost beat them, just taking people out to keep them from getting injuries. And the other two was one from the Steelers and one from the Roosters. And the Roosters ended up winning the Super Bowl. They stay in the biggest city in Finland. They can ball. They got people that used to play in the NFL, used to play D1 ball. So it wasn't no discrepancies with who they can choose from.
Yeah, and, right. I probably had the money to spend it too, huh?
Yeah, they had some guys that, there was folks that were retired, came back. They were like, oh, we see that y'all are finna go to the championship. And they joined the squad.
Like mid-season?
Yeah, mid-season.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But they have, like, the rules there, like, they have to play two games to be eligible for the rest.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Super Bowl.
That's tough.
So, but it was, man, that place was fun playing football. Because yeah. They give effort, 100. It's all gas, no brakes from each player.
Yeah.
The only thing is when you start whooping on them bad, they might start giving up. But from the first whistle, they're going to hustle. Say you run to the right, you're going to see all 11 running to the right.
That's tough. I like that.
Yeah.
Look at me sounding like a coach.
But my running back, he got from the league, he got the MVP. I got the offensive MVP. And then my D lineman, he got defensive MVP.
So y'all swept the postseason accolades?
Yeah, we swept the postseason. Right. But we didn't win the championship, though. That's who cares about it if you don't win the championship? But
that's right. That's right. But offensive MVP your first year, man. That's worth talking about. That's impressive. That's a damn good job, bro. That's a damn good job.
It was fun, man. I enjoyed myself. I was just doing things I didn't know I could do. I was hurdling folks. I was just trying.
Supposed to.
I was just trying things. I was running. I see CP behind me. I'll pitch it back to him. And I just start body blocking, just running in front of folks, let him run some more.
Mm-hmm.
And then just hooping with Kobe out there. I mean, we've had a connection since college. So it was
You said the purpose of going out there was to get the best film possible, right? Yeah. So I'm glad you took that approach of going out there and just pretty much throwing the kitchen sink at them, because the tape is good. The tape is really good. So what's next?
I'm going to the NAZ Wranglers, Northern Arizona Wranglers in Prescott Valley. Yes, sir.
So is it like the UFL where everybody's at one thing, or does all the teams have their own separate facilities? Like
we all have
North Arizona. Okay.
Own separate facilities, own separate housing. We're all everywhere. I mean, majority of these teams in the IFL are owned by ex-NFL players or Hall of Famers. So they're going to try to take care of you the best way possible.
So where's the furthest you're traveling away game-wise?
My division, we're in the West Coast. So I would say like Cali.
Oh, that's love. That's love, though. That's a far trip.
Yeah.
Y'all buses or flying?
I don't know that yet. I don't know yet. But I'm pretty sure buses. Because everything.
I rode buses in college, so this.
Yeah, everything's like five hours away.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
I think the only time we'll take a plane is probably the championship game. Or we got a whole new staff, whole new players. So we're young, we hungry. So what do we have to lose?
That's a fact.
We have everything to gain. What do we have to lose?
That's a fact. All right, man. So let's talk about your preparation for the game a little bit. I think we often talk about the physical, and we will right here again, but just kind of touch on how do you physically and mentally prepare for competition?
So physically, I have to get at least like 3 lifts in per week.
That week? Yeah.
Yeah, at least 3. And if the fourth one is probably like, if I do a fourth one, it's probably like either super lightweight or no weight at all with bands.
Yeah.
And the like that lift right after the game is probably the most key one. That's probably the heaviest one. And it's more just, I would say more dynamic, like box jumps, seated squats, explosive step up, stuff like that. And I really just getting into it. I mean, that's what I went to school for. So it's kind of right. For the most part,
right.
I still like to learn and ask people what they do during the season. CP was really the first one to show me like how to work out as a pro. I mean, he's been playing over there, I think going on 7-8 years. So,
jeez.
Yeah, his birthday is today. So shout out CP, happy birthday, man.
Yeah, CP, shout out to you, brother. 7 or 8 years over there, dog. That's how you know you really love it.
Yeah.
That you're willing to. But really to take time away from your folks, because I'm sure you got people here that love him, man, and he's still pursuing it. So shout out to CP.
Shout out to CP's mom. She made home cooked meals for us while he was over there too. So
also mom live over there too.
No, she just, you know, he just had a baby Ace, like right before the season.
Mm-hmm.
That week before the first game, they had a baby. So he came and visited, came and checked him out. And so she cooked for us and everything. But back to it, like, but the mental part is more of the main thing through the whole week. I mean, you're gonna hear the same thing. Don't take any team for granted from any level, because
right,
it's everybody comes in on that Saturday, that Sunday, wanting to win. And I usually take it real slow. I'm like, with film wise, mentally, I'll go through each game that I have, watch it completely through, no pausing, no stopping, just want to see the flow of the game, see like, okay, make mental notes. Okay, we have 3rd and long. Okay, I could just scramble on this one if I was in that quarterback's shoes.
Yeah.
Or hey, we got 2nd and short. We have the deep, but we're backed up on our 25-yard line. So we just need to get in the rhythm first. So let's just take the hitch. Let's just take the middle sit and keep the thing rolling. And then the next time I would just watch first downs. And then the next round I'll take 3rd downs. And then 2nd downs in there. And then I'll go red zone and backed up the next day. So all of it's leading up to that Saturday or Sunday. And then I try to keep an even keel. I try to keep it loose with my teammates. Let them know, like, hey, it's us, pretty much.
Yeah.
Let's just go hoop. Let's go play some ball. I mean, y'all were signed to the team for a reason. It's just more mentally as a quarterback, you have to uplift others before you can uplift yourself.
True. And
them believe in you. To know that in any situation you can take them to the promised land, take them to the end zone in my case,
right?
But learning that it goes with both sides. A quarterback takes control of both sides, defense and offense. Not so much on the defensive side of like, hey, you need to do this, but as a quarterback you can hold that defense accountable when you need them. And then I read my Bible daily each day. I read my manifestation cards or my goals each day, and I get into the game and I'm cool. I listen to the same. I gotta listen to the same 2 songs, same 3 songs each time. Right.
What's the 3?
So, I listen to my gospel music, Kirk Franklin, and then "Savior" by Ty Tibbett, and then like right before I go out, like. Right before I go out, I listen to Versatile 2.
What is that? What's Versatile 2?
Kodak Black.
That's a crazy mix. So you go gospel, Kodak?
Yeah.
That's tough.
It's been my, it's just been my habitual song.
Yeah, for sure. My pregame, and I would listen to it all day, was Bombs Over Baghdad by Outkast.
Yeah.
That was my get me hype, run through a brick wall. Like that was my one. So I'm with you.
I'm not a big like rah-rah type of music each time, but like that song is like probably the most like egotistical song, I guess.
I'm surprised it wasn't like a Rio the Great or Michigan Boy Boat.
Oh well, sometimes I do listen like on a bus ride. I always watch Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is my favorite quarterback right now. So
really,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
So
I want to pick that one for you. That's Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Okay. All right, Lamar. All right, Lamar.
So is it Lamar Jackson and CJ Stroud? Those are the two I like to watch. But I have to watch Lamar Jackson. It's just I put him on like on my iPad, and then I cut down the volume on the iPad, and I hook up my headphones to my phone, and I listen to the music, and I just see it as art, like the movements that he's doing, the throws that he's doing. I just try to apply it to my game to keep us going. Cause I mean, he's a leader, he's a winner, but I need to see him get to that chip.
For sure. Yeah. Man, is your screen frozen on your end?
No, I can still see.
Okay. Say less. That means it's recording like it needs to. Yeah. All right. Man, what do you think are the most important traits for a good football player? Like, not necessarily a quarterback. We ain't talking about skill set. I guess what I want to know, like, just like mental traits, character, because you kind of alluded to it a little bit as a quarterback, like having to be a vocal leader or just being a leader for both sides of the ball. Like, you've seen a lot of football. You've been around a lot of incredibly talented football players. Like, what is something that you think, like, if you were building the prototypical football player, regardless of position, mm-hmm. What are some traits? What are the most important traits that ball player needs?
I would say emotionally stable, because this game will take you real, real high and real, real low. You don't know what type of a season you'll have, but you always got to be able to prepare for each game like it's the last game. And that's cliche, because as football players, as any sport, you'll hear that in any locker room. You got to have grit. You got to have integrity on and off the field. And I'm a big believer, what you do off the field is going to affect what you do on the field. As in, hey, as a college student, it was going to class on time, going to weights on time, doing each rep to full capacity, because that stuff adds up for your team. Your team witnesses that while you do it. And I think just hard work in general. Like, what I've been telling myself is like, why not? Or what are the what ifs? What if I cheat this rep? What if I don't watch film? What if I don't take notes properly? Or what if I don't give my all this game? And that's when a scout was seeing. But what if I do give my all this game and a scout was watching and he says, I like that, and I get that chance? What if I spark somebody else's adventure to playing football or just attacking the right way?
That's a good one. I like that. I might have to steal that. The what ifs, that's fire. Because I think most of the time you hear what ifs in like a negative connotation. I think from what I'm hearing, your what ifs kind of contribute to you doing the right things all the time.
Yeah.
I like that.
What if? I mean, that's the approach I took when going to the pro day. Like I could be feeling sorry for myself. Oh, they just only picked me up because this and that. Oh, they ain't gonna think of me because I'm coming from a D2. I'm performing at a D1. They're not really going to give me the eyes. But what if I do perform? Because I know for sure I was in the top of mind of the pro day, just numbers wise, bench press wise. Mm-hmm. Just I completely like out going into that. I was nervous, but like once it started rolling, I said, okay, that's where the what ifs came. What if
I don't know if you took pre-workout or what, but man, you ain't see yourself, dog. It was like you were jumping out of your skin. Did you take pre-workout?
Excited, man.
Huh?
I was just excited. I mean, now,
what did you get on bench? You did something crazy on bench, right?
18. My best ever was 22.
18 is
you can ask Big Smooth and everybody at Kentucky Wesleyan.
18 is gas. 22 is nuts, but 18 is gas. 18 reps of 225 is.
I did more than some of the D line and O linemen that were in there.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. That's crazy. So, achievement wise, like, what was your biggest achievement in football?
I don't know. I would say my senior year, I finally found like my complete faith. I humbled myself and found my faith through my backups, through one of my receivers. And they continued to pour into me. And I thank the Lord that he poured into me during that time as well, because I completely surrendered to him. And then it just allowed me to build my team around myself. Like they had full, like anytime we would be down in the, with 30 seconds going into the half, hey, Christian, can you go get this touchdown? Or can you help the touchdown? And that's a defensive player coming to me saying that. Yep. So that just gave me more fuel to the fire to keep on pursuing what they want, what my team wants. And I would say that having that support from my whole team, from the coaching staff to the players, I feel like that was probably my biggest accomplishment, because ain't nothing more satisfying to be loved by your peers while you're playing the game.
Right. 100%, especially at that quarterback spot. I mean, for anybody, but man, when your whole team follows you, man, and you're the quarterback, you're essentially the coach on the field. That's big time stuff there. All right. I'm going to jump around a little bit right here, but you got a chance to come home and pour into some young people and coach at our alma mater, at our old high school.
Yeah.
All right. So you were able to kind of see. Just brief. Well, I mean, you've been around, you know, younger players, you know, through the brand. So, man, just from your point of view, because it changed. It's definitely changed from when I was playing high school ball. But even for you, like, it has changed drastically in the last, like, 5 to 6 years. So from, like, your vantage point, what do you think the biggest challenge athletes face today, more so on the football side?
Patience.
Hmm.
Just patience with the game, patience with their team. I mean, when they're not out, and I won't even completely blame it on the kids. Cause
I was just about to say, there's a lot of factors that contribute to it, but
yeah,
I agree.
But if you, like, I had to learn in high school. My dad, like, I would literally cry my junior year. Cause I mean, Devin knew it. Like, I wanted to be the starter my junior year. I felt like I was preparing the right way. I just wanted to win the job. And my dad said, you're not going, like, this was before anything. You're not going to go nowhere. You're going to stay right here and take the best coaching possible. And Coach Locke was like a father figure to me. So he would always pour into me. And when I did finally keep my patience and got to my first start was in the playoffs against McGavick, and they just won the state championship the year before, and I popped off with 6 touchdowns. So I guess that patience just led us all the way through. And I hate to do it, but Devin got hurt that Friday before against Whitehaven. It was the battle of the undefeated game, and Devin got hurt. And that was my opportunity. I mean, he got Bledsoe, like as folks would say, as when Tom Brady got in, because Devin was having a season himself.
Devin broke the school record for passing yards or touchdowns, didn't it? Like for a career?
I think so.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did. I mean, it wasn't, that number wasn't crazy anyway, because historically Cordova has been a run school, but yeah, I think he broke the record for, I want to say it was passing yards and touchdowns.
I wouldn't doubt it, because we were 50-50. If you looked at our numbers, each time we were 50-50, and we averaged 60 points a game. So,
oh my God, that's crazy.
We were rolling. As a team, we were rolling. But that helped me go through it all. And then back to the high school kids, they just don't have patience of staying with the program. They want to, there's a transfer portal in high school football or high school athletics as it is.
I think that's twofold, right? So I think there's a vantage point that points to a lot of schools here will just load up on talent.
Yeah. Right?
Where like you don't need this position. Like this position isn't a need for you. But because the kid maybe has a name or comes from a quality program or whatever have you, like we feel like we have to go out and get this kid. Like let's just say quarterback, right? You only can play one quarterback. It's unlike any other position on the field.
Right.
You can only play one quarterback. It's not like five linemen or three or four receivers or maybe two running backs or maybe two sniffers if you play double wing or on the other side of the ball. It's not like defensive linemen or secondary or linebackers. Like that quarterback spot is one job, right?
Right.
And so you'll have some programs that got their guy for right now. Their guy for right now is the backup, their guy for the future, and then they will still go out and then try to recruit another future guy. And they do that every position. And so sometimes these kids buy into the idea that, hey, this coach wants me here because he genuinely likes my talent or genuinely wants to help develop my talent.
Yeah.
When sometimes that's not always the case. And then sometimes you'll have parents that are bought into the idea of, I don't want to say clout, because that's kind of messy.
I would say they're
bought into the idea of the tradition or the culture of a program. And so they'll send their kid there or hide behind the academic piece.
But I don't see why not try to build that tradition there.
Sometimes the school don't fit. Like it's a lot, like there's a lot of stuff that that kind of plays into it. Run game concept wise, because you said y'all ran that gun tee.
Yeah.
So I'm sure y'all ran some buck. I'm sure y'all ran some counter. Y'all probably ran some belly. And I know y'all ran dive. What is your favorite run concept?
Quarterback power, quarterback counter.
Jesus
Christ. We had this play. It was called Sally. And it's fake the triple option, fake the inside dive. Your wing is coming around. You act like you finna pitch it to him. And I just had dynamic wing backs, as we call them. And I would just like the wing back on the right would come and split between me and the other wing back that went in the triple option motion off the rip. This wing back on the right would come on the snap. So he'll just split between us. I'll do a light toss, and he's gone 88 out the gate on the backside. It's just pretty much a reverse.
Mm-hmm.
It would hit each time. And I just love watching it. I mean, if you sell out your fake properly, the O-line do the right blocking properly, it's money every single time. And Cam and Kaya, they were twins. They were both my wingbacks. So both of them have similar playing style. They make anybody miss. And it was just cool just watching them do their thing. They come from a basketball background, so it was really hooping on grass.
Favorite passing concept, what you got?
I got quite a few. I like NCAA with the post.
Shallow.
Post. And the over the comeback on the backside. Because you got where each spot, especially if you got the running back doing a check release.
Mm-hmm.
I like mesh mesh always puts people in a bind, whether it's man or zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say cross.
You're naming some good ones.
Yeah, like especially I like it. I really like it with the tight end, the wide cross with the tight ends. The
yeah.
I like yeah. it with being a big body, especially mm-hmm. red area. He can take that lick, or a deep cross with the scissors concept front side. You got some explosive people on the front side of it. Other mm-hmm. play action. You bring that safety down a little bit. You get the scissors action. Okay, that doesn't work. And then you got that cross coming, putting that backer in a bind, and he gets on that back half window. You hit him in that perfect sweet spot. He just catches it and runs.
And, yeah.
And the scissors concept is pretty much the blocking scheme for that.
Mm. Okay. I like that deep crosser look, especially from the tight end spot, because it's no longer under Sam. It's you really just working to get on top of the mic. And if you maneuver your eyes the right way on the front side of that concept, you got some money coming from the backside. Sally, shallow, crosser, and mesh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. All right. So closing out, what would you tell your 15-year-old self?
Keep working, I guess.
Keep working, man. I mean, I knew I wanted to be a pro ball player.
Yeah.
But I had no idea how I was going to get there.
Yeah. I mean, I would say also, I wish I would have found like a quarterback trainer or some type of trainer to develop my game. But I was always in season regardless. I was either football season or baseball season. And I was real good at baseball. I was that dude at Cordova. Even from as a freshman, I knew what I was bringing to the table in baseball.
But yeah.
That's another reason why I love football. It's challenging. It's always adapting. It's always the simplest game, but people make it
so difficult.
So difficult.
So difficult. You're right.
And I know if I would have had a quarterback trainer, or even if I would have known that I was going to be a professional football player, just having somebody on that football side, because I always got people on the baseball side.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad was a great baseball player, and he knew all the great coaches that were in the Memphis area. So I was getting picked up from since I was little. People were literally paying for me to come play with them, either in a World Series or in a tournament after our. But on the football side, I had most of my court coaches and coordinators were defensive based. Like my dad, he played offense, but his main thing was defense. He was a headhunter.
And
I never really believed it. You know, you always hear those stories about your father.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The guy's telling you, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I went to my dad's alma mater, and they were like, "You Jesse's son?" Oh yeah, that man was crazy. He was a good ball player. So it's just, if I would have had somebody offensively, I mean, I eventually got with Coach Locke. So Coach Locke taught me a lot. But even prior to then, or just having somebody to mold my quarterbackness. I felt like I would have
my quarterbackness.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna run off a few before we get off. Favorite team to watch and franchise that you would like to play for. I'm thinking it's probably gonna be Baltimore, because you say you like watching Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I like watching Lamar.
So team that you would like to play for.
Probably Baltimore. If I could go right now, probably Baltimore.
Love. Baltimore does a great job with small school guys too.
Yeah. And then if it was my like dream team, like when I was a kid, it would be the Cowboys. I mean,
oh my God.
Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, those are my guys. Dak Prescott, he's my guy too.
Man, oh my God.
Gives him some hate, but I've been watching Dak since he was at Mississippi State. I got to see him live.
All right. This one is probably going to be a weird one, but I don't care. Every quarterback has their favorite receiver to throw to. Favorite receiver in the break that you like to throw to?
In the break?
Yep.
I would say I like Christian. I like Christian. It really just depends on the time. Like Christian, I like going against him because he's deceptively fast.
Yeah.
And I feel like he carries himself like a pro. So any chance he says he's going to be at a session, I always try to make sure I'm at the session.
Yeah.
And Dedrick, he's just so elusive in his routes. I mean, he'll break you. He'll say I'm running the option route. He'll run.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Break back out and then break back in. But it's so quick, so it's not out of rhythm.
Yeah.
It just amazes your eyes. And then, like, my for sure catcher, my ride or die is always going to be Nick.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good three. Yeah, that's not bad. And I like the way you chose them. Like, there's three different. Nick has kind of morphed into, like, some of Dedrick's game from that time he spent working with Dedrick a lot. But the two separate games, and then Christian is unlike both of them.
Yeah.
Solid. All right.
But Nick, me and Nick, I feel like we're late, as in just them grinders. Like,
yeah,
just we got that in us. Like, we any weather, anytime, any temperature, we're gonna be out there regardless.
All right. Any quarterback, any era, any team. If you could have like a throw off or just a session where it's y'all are the only two quarterbacks, y'all can pick the receivers you're working with. Doesn't matter who the receivers are. If it's one quarterback that you would like to have a throwing session with, who is that quarterback?
Tom Brady. I'll say Tom. Okay.
Respect.
I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks I've wanted to throw to or throw with and just pick their brain. Like, if I could do Michael Vick, I'd love to go Mike Vick, Randall Cunningham, Warren Moon. Who else? Roger Staubach.
Dog, you keep saying Staubach. Staubach with that straight drop back is.
Hey.
And it's crazy.
He got beat.
It's crazy nowadays. People are merging towards it.
I'm cool off of that, though. I'm cool off of that. I like right here, and it gives a D lineman a smaller target.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a receiver, like Julio or let me think of somebody else.
That's not even your same body type, bro. Like that's not your ministry, bro.
Hey, you seen me on the break the fields.
All right, King of the Field, since you brought that up, King of the Field, right?
So yeah.
King of the Field is a little thing we do at the end of workouts, one-on-ones from the five, all go balls, right? So King of the Field, one person that gave you a problem, and then one person that's probably going to see this on social media, and you letting them know, like, bro, I beat you every time I line up against you.
Oh, that's pretty much everybody. I beat everybody. I've had every time I've at least won twice, but the person who gives me problems is Dedrick. That's the only person that's giving me problems.
But that's because he really could have been a DB too, though.
Yeah. But yeah. He also knows the trick how to make me not perform good. And that's make me laugh right before the rip. I can't function when I'm laughing on a route at all. It's like I stand straight up as soon as I start laughing. But I've given him some work too, though.
Yeah, that can't get a feel portion of the session is always funny because, like, dog, y'all really be going at it out there. Y'all really be going at it, number one. And some of the trash talk is hilarious, especially when Nick and Josh get joined. Oh, my God. When Nick and Josh get going. Dog, cancel the session, dog. Cancel the rest of the day.
Fine.
Yep. But man, excellent interview, dog. I really appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to what your future holds. I've been blessed to be a part of it. From 2019, 2020-ish to now. Just to see your maturation, dog, and see how you how you've always worked hard and still work hard. Man, it's impressive, which is why I try to keep you around as many of the young quarterbacks I work with, because they need to know what work looks like. And I think that's lost in translation. You will have kids that have the rankings or have the offers, but then they don't work hard. It kind of allows kids in all positions to check their egos, man, because, man, football doesn't care about your ego.
No.
Where it doesn't. It don't care about your plans. It don't care about your ego. It don't care about who you was in high school. None of that matters, man. Like, the more you go up a level, man, like, this thing changes. The opportunities change. Like, it's just a different world. So, man, thank you for sitting down with me. And if you got anything else you want to leave with the listeners,
just what everybody's been asking me, like, where are you gonna go? What's next? And how long are you gonna keep on playing? It's just as a young guy in high school or college, or you're going into your pro days, just if you believe in yourself and you believe in your journey, because not everybody's journey is created equal. If you are willing to take your journey, you can go anywhere you want. And that's with anything. That's with being a bus driver or being a football player. It don't matter where you're at. If you're willing to take your journey to where it needs to go, and if you're willing to put in the work, regardless of your sleep schedule, your work schedule, I mean, you got to find ways to adapt your schedule to your goals, your aspirations. So don't give up and give it to God.
That's love. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Like my lady always says, man, your journey is your journey. My journey is mine.
And I'm glad you are a part of my journey. I mean, that's from the beginning. It's been, hey, coach, when we going to go hoop outside?
Man. Well, man, I ain't going to hold you up, man. I'm going to go in here and pick Lil Greg up and throw him around a couple times, man. Man, be great, man. I appreciate you. Hope to see you before you leave. We got 3 days of lifting this week, Friday. I don't think I got nothing on Friday. Saturday, we're going to be out of town. Sunday, we should be back. And then Monday is spring break.